I do want to welcome you, and let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble on the body of Christ in the midst of this world gone haywire, this world without God, this world without Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the church will be constant. The church will be, we know you are, and your true church is. But Lord, I pray it's not a time to wimp out. It's not a time to slough off. It's not a time to get lazy. It's a time to be committed and show our colors. And so, Father, we pray for in the coming week or two that our people will be back from quarantine and everything will be functioning as a church. And, Lord, we just pray and look forward to that time we can do that, make everybody feel better. So we pray you bless this service today, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. In the way of ministry, I want you to note your bulletin. Be praying about what God would have you to give to Faith Promise, and be doing that, and we'll adjust our missions given accordingly. We have a missionary coming on January 24th, Brother Graham and Olivia Young, missionaries to Nigeria, and they'll be with us. And then we got Help Ministries coming sometime in June. One of their representatives. It's not Brother O'Neill. He went to heaven, and it's not Lester Allen. It's somebody else. John Mills is the one. So remember that. We're going to move our quarterly conference back from January 17th, next Sunday. Won't have time to give you the copies of the financial reports. We'll do it on the 24th or 31st. And then our missionary is coming on the 24th, and the evening service at 6 p.m. present his work to Nigeria. Sign up for the Church Sing. We've got four or five signed up already. That'll be January the 31st. And because some of the people that are out are really involved in setting up the fellowship hall and all those kind of things, we won't be having a chili and hot dogs afterwards. And so you won't be have to be worried about that. And we'll just have our church sing that night and adapt my message accordingly to how many sing, okay? But we do want you to sign up on February 13th for the Valentine's Steak Banquet, 5 p.m. on a Saturday. We'll know how many steaks to buy, and we'll be doing baked potatoes and salad. The ladies will need to get their salad together and stuff like that, drinks. But that's coming up in February. We have, you tell Kenley we said happy birthday to her today. Next, this coming Saturday, she'll be 13. And Morgan and, don't tell me. August, she'll be 16, right? So watch out. Don't drive on the roads. And, yeah. So let's give Kenley a happy birthday today. Be next Saturday. All right. So any other announcements from anybody? Again, pray for, let's go ahead and just go along. We don't have no hymns or nothing. Our intercessory prayer, we want to pray for a lot of people on our prayer list. We pray for all those that are out because of COVID. All the Smiths and the Thorntons have been cleared, but they think it's best to stay away another week. Keaton tested negative. And as far as I know, none of the others have broke out with it. Remember Larry and Linda? He has it, and Linda hasn't come down with it yet. But Larry's about the same. He's no better. He's no worse. So remember him, and his oxygen level is good. They bought something to check that. And I want to remember Linda Matthews. She had been, both her and Larry probably got sick the Saturday before the first Sunday in January, and they got their test, and Linda's come back positive. She's at home. And it's going to have to be a bad virus to kick old Miss Linda, right? And so we want to, Linda, we're praying for you. I'm just going, Jean Griner as well has been sickly. Tina Myrick has ultrasound test coming up January the 20th on our neck, looking for carotid arteries. And that has another procedure after that a few days later, so remember her. Remember Miss Molly? I didn't know till a while ago that Miss Tina shared with us that she'd been going to wound care for about 3 weeks. And that leg, they got some real problems with that leg. And doctor says he's done all she could do. They want to go back in there and do a x-ray or some kind of thing on the big artery in her leg and look at it. Ultrasound. Because y'all know the consequences of that if they can't take care of it. So pray for her and pray for her family. Pray for the others on our members. Pastor Glenn and Cindy, they're over at Hickory Head this morning and still in discussions with them. And pray the Lord's will be done. Our will would be that they stay here. And but it's the Lord's work. And remember Tina Lane, also Jack and Margene Boyd, Rex Smith Sr., Brother Ray, now, and Miss Wanda now. And Wendell and Myrtle and Justin all have a crud kind of thing. It's not COVID, so remember them. And also we want to pray for Margaret Hart. Many of y'all saw on Facebook, yeah, last night late I put it out, got word from Pat that her mother had fallen and broken her shoulder. What all that entails, I don't know, the shoulder blade or the joints, but she's going to see Dr. Murphy Monday, and they'll go from there. So she's in a lot of pain right now, and she needs our prayers. So you pray for Pat, Rex, and pray for Herbert, Melissa, pray for James and Janet. Those are the related, and as they care for her. And we're gonna take Pastor Roy Little off the list, pastor of Evergreen, because he's been preaching for about 2 weeks, and continue to pray for our nation. A nation without God, government leaders that don't know God, and we pray for national repentance, and we pray for our president Donald and Melania Trump, Donald Trump and his wife Melania, and pray for the Chris Schumann family. He passed away. He leaves a wife and a couple of kids. And his wife has COVID, and so pray for him. He was a fairly young man. How you remember?
He had to be about 36.
Yeah. So pray. It's too late to pray for him as far as that goes, but we can pray for his family. Was there somebody out there? Anybody on the camera? Okay. So we want to pray for the Chris Schumann family, okay, on his passing, okay? Any others this morning?
David Robertson got coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, he goes to victory. Uh-oh. Is it Robertson or Robinson? There's a T in it. Oh, there's no T. Robertson. Okay. Virgil Player? Does he have the virus?
He's still overcome the virus. It's just his health issues right now.
He was a plumber, right? Is he? He's
Greg Player's dad.
Pastor of the church, his brother. Okay. Virgil Player. Any others? Appreciate you again, your faithfulness. Pray for me and Brother Mark as we go down to Gospel Light tomorrow for the pastor's fellowship. And pray we don't eat too much catfish. You're going to have a bunch of it. I'm already thinking about it. In fact, I'm ready to go right now. But, yeah.
Mm.
Did you know that, Frank?
She just said anything.
Mm-hmm. And the boys. Who had they been around recently? Any of y'all?
They've been on vacation in North Georgia when they got back. They got it.
Oh, man. That's Amy's husband, Jason's sister's family. Live in Barosta, yeah. Okay. All right, remember that. Anybody else? All right, appreciate y'all again watching by the Facebook, and I don't know how long we'll be able to do that. They're cracking down on free speech. So, but we'll take note of that. Anyone else? We will be having services tonight, so you are obligated to come so you won't hurt the church, right? So we want to have the same number back this morning, tonight, okay? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray for our services today. Lord, you know what's going on. And Lord, we pray that as we go through this abbreviated service due to things that are not our cause, we pray that you be glorified as we lift up you, as we talk about this morning in a few minutes, living in this world like we don't belong. And the church has become so comfortable in this world that we think and act like the world, and we get upset like the world. And so, Father, I pray you speak to us today from your word in 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you for the Sunday school lessons we've been having in the auditorium on why we serve God. And I pray, Father, for all these on our list, all of our membership, for Larry and Linda. We pray that Linda doesn't come down with the virus, but we pray for Larry, Lord. We pray that you heal him. Pray for Keaton and his family. Good news that he tested negative. Look forward to them being back with us, all of them. And we pray for Linda Matthews that tested positive. Lord, I pray that she'll get well, and we pray you heal her as well. We pray for Jean Griner and Tina Myrick as she goes to do her test on the 20th. Pray for Pastor Glenn and Cindy as they discern God's will in this matter at Hickory Head. Tina Lane, Jack and Margene Boyd, especially for both of them. And for March, I believe it is, when Margene's going to have her prosthesis put in, or it may be February. But Lord, I pray for Jack. He's not been feeling well after his last AFib attack. And we pray for all these others here that's been mentioned. Margaret Hart, we pray as she goes to see Dr. Murphy, I pray that you cause him to treat her and make decisions, Lord, that are beyond his human ability. And I pray that things will go well there. I pray for the keepers of Miss Margaret, for patience. And we pray that her recovery will be quick and swift. We pray for Myrtle and Justin, and we pray for Wendell and have the crud. We're glad to hear that Vernon Jackson is doing better every day. And we also praise you for your healing and hand on Pastor Roy Little. I know he's glad to be back in the pulpit. We pray for the David Robertson family, Robertson family at Victory Fellowship. I pray that for Brother Gary, that as they make decisions about how many has been affected and whether or not how many need to stay away. And I pray for that. We thank you that the people and that got the virus in our church have not been to church since they were sick. They were sick and got it over the holidays, and so we thank you for that. We pray today for Virgil Player. Lord, I don't know much about him. Tina does. Lord, I pray that he's saved. I pray that he's one of your children. And we pray too also for Jason and Lisa and the boys. They got the COVID on vacation when they got back, and pray, Father, that they'll exercise good judgment. And we pray for Jason Burns, their last name's Burns, that as we understand, he has difficulty breathing. And Amy, is he in the hospital yet? They just took him to urgent care. And Lord, we know that once people begin to have trouble breathing, it's not good news. And so, Father, we pray for him and that family. We pray for our nation, a nation that has completely turned our back on anything doing with the things of God. And for the sake of the church, Lord, I pray you heal our nation. I pray, Lord, that our politicians get saved. And I pray for President Donald Trump and his family. Lord, he needs your uplift. And he doesn't need these charismatic pastors around him but telling lies. I pray that Robert Jeffries and Franklin Graham will step up and be an encouragement to him. And I just pray for our nation. We need God. Pray for the Chris Schumann family over his passing. His wife has COVID and leaving the small kids. And Brother Glenn talked to us this morning in the prayer time that he used to be in the Awanas with them. But Lord, his lifestyle after that hasn't been what's keeping with the child of God. And Lord, I pray he's in heaven today. And we don't know that, but whether he is or not. But Lord, I pray for his family. And so we lift up all these things in your name, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. I'm going to give you a time while Wanda plays. I'm going to give you a time to come up and put your offering in the plate. Be good, and then I'll go into my message, okay? John, you can't be an usher, man. You're just walking past people.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
One
of the tips of being an usher is that you stay there with the plate till they put something in it. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? All right. They used to say we're going to receive the offering. Now they say we're going to lift the offering, right? All right, let's go in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We've been going through Peter. 1 Peter on Sunday mornings. I thought it was appropriate, the times we're living in, because it's all about suffering. It's all about how the people of God react and behave in the midst of suffering and in a world that is not in the kingdom of God. And remember, our text today will be beginning in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2, and that is the context of 1 Peter, encouragement and endurance in the midst of persecution. We're calling it persevering in persecution. And that God's grace is available as we submit to God's sovereign plan of persecution in our life. Where all the martyrs that were killed in Hebrews 11 and all through the church ever since the church was established, were all of them out of the will of God? No, it was God's will that this happened. And so what's happening today, we would have to believe that as much as it goes against our grain in the flesh, that God's got a prophetic plan, and he's carrying it out. John MacArthur says that Christians were under intense persecution from Nero and Domitian in the first 200 or 300 years of the first century. Peter instructs them that they can live victorious in persecution without losing hope, without becoming bitter and trusting God while looking for Jesus. And I like those words because it's easy in the world we live in to become bitter and to become helpless and hopeless, like God is not in control. Now, I want to ask you some questions before we get into our text this morning. How does the believer live before a hostile world in these troubling times? Are you spiritually prepared for the increasing persecution? And I am not like some pastors. I have taught you what to expect from the world in these end-time events. How can we prepare for the coming persecution? Well, Peter tells us, first of all, if you look at number one, slide, please. You look at the first point there, live holy. No matter how much the world comes against us and how bad they act, we are to act like the people of God. Amen? Okay, can I buy an amen?
Amen.
$5 amen.
Amen.
Okay. We can live holy. Peter tells us three attitudes of our conduct in being holy. First of all, notice verse 11. Let's read verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from filthy fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So if we're going to live holy, we've got to have the right understanding. But dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We are citizens of heaven and foreigners here on earth. The word strangers there means aliens. A show today that's popular, I guess, among people I hear them talking about it, is the show Aliens, or used to be. But we are aliens. People that live in a country they can't call their home. This is not our home. We have been called out of this world. We have another home. We're citizens of heaven. And so we cannot never be comfortable in this world because we're not to live in a way like we belong here, if I can put it that way. Living like you don't belong. We are strangers, aliens. He says we are, Christians are aliens from another world and foreigners from another land. We are, and we represent the homeland, like I told you this morning, as ambassadors of Christ in Sunday school. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ in this earthly country. We are not to live like we belong. We are pilgrims passing through the homeland, passing through this world, a foreign land, to the homeland. And we represent the homeland while we're in this foreign land, right? We are pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're strangers in this world. And the church has lost that identity, right, to be distinct from the world around them. You just made yourself, Pamela, $10 right there. So we are to have a right understanding. Unless you really realize that you're strangers and aliens in this world, you're not going to live like you ought to. And then number two, also in verse 11, we need to have the right response. He said, abstain from fleshly lust, that are the works of the flesh that war against the soul. To hold yourself back from and away from the natural urges of the flesh that we want to be, that we want to fulfill in a wrong way. Our testimony in this is interconnected with our influence and other people. I mean, recklessness can lead to becoming a stumbling block. You know, how we react to what's happening in our world can be a witness for Christ, can it? And then the right awareness in verse 11, which war against the soul. Our struggle is with the flesh. The flesh is our sin nature that has a natural urge to draw away from God's word and God's way. You know, if you ever say, well, I don't think I'm going to come to church today, your flesh is having victory over the spirit. If you ever think, well, I don't want to do that no more, you know, I don't want to serve no more, your flesh is having victory over the spirit. So we're in a battle. And by the way, we're in a war. It's just not a battle. Battles, we can win those. But we're in a war. The enemy never gives up. You see that, right? They never give up. They never give up. It's always coming back with something. So we're in a war. And our battle is against our flesh, Satan, and the world. War, the word war means literally a military campaign. There is a military campaign going on in hell against the church. And we need to realize that. So we need to live holy. That's our first response. If we're going to live like we don't belong in this world, live holy. That would be contrary and opposite to the way the world acts. Number two, we need to live honest. Look in verse 12. It says this, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Speak evil against you. We have reached that day, church, where good is evil and evil is good. And what is good is called evil. If you don't believe just like the world system around you, the secular world system, you are called evil. You know, I get in conversations with some of them sometimes, and if we don't believe just like they believe, then they think it's our fault, and they'll make it look like it's our fault. And I'll say, well, what makes you think that your opinion on this issue is right? You know, I found out that people that don't have God are some of the least patient, some of the least, what's the word I'm looking for? Tolerant of other people's views, right? They are. They think they're right and that you are wrong. And because of that, you are evil. And that's what's happening in our Lord. Our Lord said it would be that way, right? They would call evil good and good evil. And it's happening. Live honestly, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Honest among the Gentiles, among the lost. Be honest, be straight, be truthful. Just because they're lost don't mean you can cheat them, right? And be truthful about life. Plug into God's overall plan. And we conduct ourselves in an honorable way before the unsaved. I remember an employer telling me one time, not talking about me, but he said, that's why I don't hire Christians, because they're some of the most dishonest people. And could I correct him? No, I couldn't. You know, I pastored some churches, right? I pastored some churches where the lost people out there treated me better than the deacons did in the church. Not here, but some previous churches. That was when I was in purgatory, the beginning of my ministry, right? That's the exhortation. Now notice the expectation in verse 12 also, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. If we are in the right, then there's no need for us to panic or come to defense. We don't need to react ugly. We don't need to come down to their level. I was watching a news clip the other night. Eric Holder passed, you know, they want to go and attack us and things like that. But I saw a clip on the news about Eric Holder. He was addressing a group of people. He said, when they go low, you kick them, right? It's all right for them to do that, but not us. But that's the world, right? And if we are right, then there's no need to apologize. Just depend on the sovereign God who said, well, you brought this into my life for a reason, you know. And if we're wrong, if we're suffering because we're not living for God, then there's no reason we need to repent of it. We need to make it right and still have a gracious attitude. Your behavior can be a tool of conviction to glorify God and to win others. You know that? How you grieve over the loss of a loved one. The world is watching. And if we grieve the same way they grieve with no hope, Paul said, then what do we have that they would want, right? And then notice the exaltation in verse 12. They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So the world is watching us. In Peter's days, Christians were being slandered and slaughtered for being blamed for Nero's fires, not worshiping the heathen gods, or refraining from popular vices, or for being disloyal to the government because they claimed allegiance to a heavenly king. And we got to do right and leave the results to God when we're being blamed for something. An all-knowing, all-powerful God, you don't think God knows that you're suffering? You don't think God knows that you're being mistreated? You don't think God doesn't love you or doesn't care for you? Yes, he does. Behavior during persecution can change the view of God of the lost people in the day of their visitation. That's the day that the Holy Spirit visits them and begins to convict their heart. So live holy, live honest. And then in verses 13 through 19, we say we're to live humbly. Not this attitude about my rights have been violated. I want what I want. It's all about me. And I know they're cracking down on free speech through the big tech movement, but we got to be careful how we use big tech. Are we using big tech to glorify ourselves about, look at me, look what I got, look where I'm at, look what I'm doing, look what I have, right? I see nothing wrong about sharing church information on it like we're doing, but folks, I don't want you to know what I'm doing during the day. You won't want to know what I'm doing during the day, right? But we're doing that. So even if we're going to use the world's platform, we're going to use it to glorify God. Okay? Look in verses 13 and 16. He talks about our duty, if you will. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him to punish evildoers for the praise of them that do well. Notice again in verse 15, for it is the will of God, for if it is the will of God, with well-doing you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness, but as the servants of God. That's our duty. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, when our government tells us to do something that's contrary and violates the word of God, then we obey God, right? But other than that, we are to submit to our government because they've been placed there over us to watch out, to punish evildoers. They don't do that anymore. They punish good doers, right? It's not my fault our government is evil, but yet we submit to our government because God knows what's going on, and God can correct it if he chooses to do so, right? So we submit to our government. We are to be humble and obedient to civil law and authority. Civil disobedience is not in God's plans for the believers. What did he tell Peter? Put away the sword, right? We are never to fight for the kingdom. God's kingdom can fight for itself. God can destroy this whole world and just by speaking it, right? He doesn't need us for that. He's in control. So what does that tell us? There's only one other option. Things are going the way he wants them to go for prophecy. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Because they were telling them to be silent. Don't speak the gospel. If you do, we're going to bring you back in here. And we're going to whip you again. But I'm telling you what, the church wants to silence us, the world wants to silence us and keep us inside these four walls. That's what one of you said this morning, that one of our politicians says, Brother Frank?
Kamala Harris
says, we're going to keep you inside the church and you don't speak about these things outside the church, basically paraphrasing, right? So there's a balance. We obey God by obeying government. We are not to rebel or seek to overthrow the government. I think God knows that the election was stolen, don't you? We obey God by obeying government. We are not to rebel or seek to overthrow the government. But when our government persecutes us rather than protects us, that opens a Pandora box of questions. What about this? What about that? Well, when the government causes you to violate God's scripture, God's word, then you are to obey God. That about nails it down for you, right? If they were to come in here and say, okay, no more church, you can't preach the gospel anymore. Well, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm 69. April, I'll be 70. I just hope they feed me good in prison. Right? Did y'all hear what I said? That motorcycle going by? I hope they feed me good. I'm looking, Frank, for some of your food to be brought to me, right? All right, yeah. You'll be there with me. I like that. You won't be like the Republicans jumping ship while the ship's going down, right? All right. Stay there and fulfill your duty. If you Republicans are listening and the Senate cabinet are in office and staff, stay there till your duty is done. Don't jump ship. Facebook just went off. But we live before a hostile world. We must do it with the right attitude. We must be holy, honest, and be humble. Folks, it's by God's grace that he saved us. What do we got to be proud about? right? It's by his grace that he saved us. So this is how we live in a life, in this world, like we don't belong. And you know what I mean. I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about your, but live with an inner attitude of the fact that you don't belong here. You're strangers and you're pilgrims and you're aliens in this world. And we have been so accustomed and so comfortable in this world that you see the church. What if you, what would you think if there came a real persecution against the church today? We wouldn't even have as many as we have here this morning. And I know several are out because of the virus. But I'm, folks, tell, y'all listen to your pastor now. The world may be doing what they're doing, but God is using it to sift the church, to separate the real from the false, right? I believe that with all my heart. We're not going to have musicians come forward because we're just going to have a time of meditation, a time of reflection. Father, I pray that you will cause us to live in this world like we don't belong. That we'll be good keepers. Yes, we'll occupy till you come. We'll be good citizens. But help us understand we're passing through. This is not our home. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
We're going to give you